Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, as we get this Tuesday morning rolling here for you on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Oh, my goodness, what a great video that is, which we can't share with you. I can't share this with you, though, because I just don't. There's so much in the Chronicle this morning about the Texans and the fourth quarter and Davis Mills and blah, 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 blah. There is, I think it was Brian T. Smith did, right? Hey, it's the fall, okay? Rockets had their media day yesterday. That's nice. You know what? That's nice. And you know what? I'm looking forward to this season.
In Louisiana.
Yeah.
Lake Charles.
The Nugget.
Yep. Yeah.
Well.
I mean, it's Tillman. Yeah, it's Tillman. It's a little tougher to get all the media out there you want.
Yeah.
Well, my guess is they had a smaller showing than they probably would have had in Houston.
Probably. More than likely. But that's nice, and I'm looking forward to the season. And I'm looking forward to, I mean, it's going to be, the West is so tough, and it's going to be so hard. You know, Elpern Şengün made the statement that, you know, we're going to be the best team in the league. What day, when that will come is interesting. They did talk about, I mean, you know, Rafael Stone did interrupt when asked about, you know, how young the team is. He was like, you know, the whole team is extremely young. You got three third-year players. You got Eric Gordon. But the rest of the team, other than Boban, is basically first and second-year players. The rotation is going to be first and second year players, right?
Yeah, it's this is still a very young team.
Yeah,
Eric Gordon is unusually old for this team.
Well, 14 years, yeah.
But you got to have some veterans on this team. I mean, you have to. I think it's an important part of any rebuild is to have veterans. The Astros recognized it and had veterans. They had veterans at first because they just needed like guys to play who would play for the Astros who could hit home runs because they knew they were going to be a strikeout team. So they decided, okay, we're going to be a home run team too. Guys like Chris Carter, Evan Gattis is kind of a reclamation project. And then they added
those
veterans.
Guys were around when they were a little bit, they got going a little bit.
They came in when they got going. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think they've surprised people and made the playoffs in 15.
In 15.
Because
right.
I think those guys came in 15. I don't even know that they were there in 14. But what I'm talking about is there's that those guys, but then there's also the once you start to get it cranked up, you add the Brian McCanns. And it's important for young players to have veteran players. It's important. Carlos Beltran is who they added also, obviously.
And I think they like Boban, and in part because of what a good guy he is.
Is everyone's the friendliest guy in the
world. Well, the Astros at that time, in 2012, I'm looking, that was the height of being really, really crappy.
Well, there's
They had a Jed Lowry.
Yeah, you know. That's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, you think this Rocket team is there? They probably are. I'm probably giving them more.
Yeah, they're probably right in the middle of.
What about 14 Astros? What were the 14 Astros?
All right, I'll find that. But go ahead. What's your point?
Just my point is you got to have some veterans on the team. But make no mistake, this team is going to end up being. It's going to be dictated by how the young players improve and gel as a team. We saw individual flashes of talent last year with multiple players, and yet the gelling and the fusing to create wins did not happen. They don't really know how to win.
14 was when they had Scott. Remember they signed Scott Feldman to from the Cubs to a 3-year $30 million deal. Uh-huh. And I was like, that's the first guy that you're going to give money to. That's interesting. I thought that was an interesting choice. They picked up Kyle Farnsworth. They picked up Scott Feldman.
Had Farnsworth on
yeah,
that
Farnsworth
team?
Was the team.
Oh, my God. I don't even remember Farnsworth.
Jason Castro with Chris Carter. You're right. They started to pick up guys that were a little bit older. Robbie Grossman was young then. And they brought up George Springer. So they started to feel like, hey, now it's time to include some older guys. And Scott Feldman was one of, if not the first guy that they gave a little bit of money to, and which was interesting. Anyway,
staff of the young Darryl
Keuchel. This team
young Dallas Keuchel was probably on that team, obviously.
Dallas Keuchel was on that team. Yeah. He was. He was in 1988. He would have been, one of the younger guys on that team. So, but this Rockets team is going to be not very good because they're still so young, and the West is so deep and so tough. They're going to lose a lot of basketball games, and they're going to have to somehow, some way, with young players, be able to grind through that. They're not as talented. I mean, when you look at I was of the opinion, I was hoping that they would be a team that was going to be, vying for a playoff spot. But that's going to be really difficult.
Team wins with another Houston team?
I don't know what their number is right now.
I don't know. I do know this, though. I think they have a little more talent than people maybe give them credit for. I just don't think it's more like Houston Texan wide receiver talent where it's all, like a bunch of third and fourth receivers. I think they have I think when you go through and you look at all the players that they have right now, Eason, Ty, Jabari, who they added, Alperen Sengun, Kenyon Martin Jr., obviously Jayshon Tate, Kevin Porter Jr., there's some guys who can play basketball in there. Yep. There's some guys who can play. It's just, are they just a collection of guys that are fluid and just out in the abyss, or are they part of a cohesive team? They weren't part of a cohesive team last year, but I actually think there's a little more talent than people give them credit for, and it could be one of those things where when you have this many young guys with some talent, sometime out of nowhere it pops. And I think this is a team that my goal for them, what I'm hoping they are, is unpredictably disruptive, meaning, yes, you're going to have some games that are total turds, but there's going to be other games where they're competing and beating some of the better teams in the league because they have that kind of, juice from game to game. I don't think it's going to be a consistency, but I do think that they have a potential to be a disruptive team this year based on Jalen Green's explosive scoring, based on having a guy in Jabari Smith who's a wingman now who can, and I mean literally and figuratively, plays the wing, but he's a guy who can ride with Jalen Green. I think there are guys who can ride with Jalen Green instead of guys who are just out for their own stuff, which, Christian Wood was like that. You worry a little bit about Kevin Porter Jr. Can he stay where he needs to psychologically? But looking at the roster, there are some young guys with some talent that I think could really take their, they're going to be ascending all at the same time with how they play. This could be a year where I think Rocket fans, I think it's starting to mirror some of what the Astros did. I really do. And I think Jabari, Ty, and Tari Eason are going to be like adding, Lance McCullers and Carlos Correa through the draft. This is going to be something that's really going to have long-term dividends. You may not see it right away, and you may see flashes of it, but I think it's going to be really important for what the long-term vision is by Rafael Stone. I think Rafael Stone's doing a really nice job with this roster. I really do. I had questions when he became the GM because he didn't have any, background in it, but it feels like he's doing a pretty good job of finding talent.
Yeah, no, I like it too. It's going to be so young. And like you said, you don't have even a blend of guys who...
Not really.
Is Eric... I don't think Eric Gordon's going to be here, first of all.
Eric Gordon is like...
Yeah, I think they're going to probably find a way to get
Eric Gordon remembers when there was no iPads.
Yeah.
Like, he played in the league when there was no iPads.
Right, right, right.
These guys are like, you played in a world where there's no iPads? Yeah, no, no. I was in the league when there was no iPads.
Let alone.
I was in the league when there was no. Wait. Was he in the league? No, he was just going into the league when. No, he might have been in the league when. He might have been a rookie when the first iPhone came out.
You know what? That's funny because I played this game with my daughter yesterday. If you were back in the 1800s, in what order do you want these things? Showers, air conditioning,
oh my God,
phone, car. Just those four.
That's the hardest game I've ever heard of.
Which, in what order do you want those things?
I think you go, well, I know what her answer is going to be.
Hers was shower.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Because as opposed to going to the well and getting a
Yeah, that's not.
No, no, no. And because we were talking about it, how people stunk back in those days.
So you would have horses. You wouldn't be able to get as many places. I would say.
Oh, and internet. Okay. Those five. Those five things.
Oh, and internet. Well, phone and internet. I mean, I could probably, I'd go with, if we lived here, I'd say air conditioning.
Air conditioning. That's what I said. That's
what
I said.
You could literally die.
Yeah, no. Well, people live though, Lance. You know that they survived, right?
Yeah, people die in heat waves too, all the time.
Well, I know, but so what order would you pick? You'd pick air conditioning first,
maybe. I mean,
well, she said I just move up north. That's all.
Well, then I would just, in that case, yeah.
Which if we it, just, yeah.
If you have any of these scenarios, I guess then I need a heater.
Yeah, you need a heater. Well, you could. I mean, you
I don't know. Car seems pretty lit. But then if you had a car, like, where are you going? To a bunch of places with no air conditioning?
Or, yeah,
like,
right. That's like exactly where you're going.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe shower is the guy. I would have put shower, like, at the bottom, but now maybe shower's higher.
Man, do you know when you get
off
that?
No, Wes, it didn't feel like shower was a big deal to me.
That 3-week trail ride, how rank you are.
Yeah.
You. I mean, jumping in a shower.
And then they go into brothels. Oh, God, I pray for those women in brothels.
Anyway.
Oh, good. Another group of musty-ass cowboys are in town. Fantastic.
Oh, they smell.
Like watching Westworld, I realized, good thing these are robots. Although, actually, none of these people are actually real cowboys either. They're paying money to be here.
Yeah, right. No, no, no. So, anyway, we'll get to this. You know what? Rockets are underway. That's nice. Media Day gave them their proper
attention.
We're about
attention. To have Astros that overlap where we have – It doesn't happen. Yeah. Well, provided the Astros are playing good.
Yes.
Provided they're actually in the World Series.
Right.
We could have Astros, Rockets, Texans.
How about that?
All
at the same time. All at the same time. Well, we're definitely going to have Rockets preseason.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and I believe that the Astros as well. I'm a little bit worried. Toronto is playing really, really well. They're starting to pull away. Tampa and Seattle just a half game apart to see who plays against Toronto and who plays against Cleveland. So it'll be interesting to see. And Aaron Judge still hasn't hit. And you know what? It's funny. It's boy Ian brought up. This is typical Aaron Judge. Where's the clutch? You need a home run. And you, how long has it been? What this is typical.
It's
typical
been
Aaron
now.
Judge.
It's been six games, I believe.
Yeah,
and, I went and, back and looked at it yesterday.
And ESPN, there was one of Mel Gibson holding this woman's eyes open, a meme. She's holding. This is ESPN making us watch every judge at bat. I'm so tired. Just stop, ESPN. We don't give a. Our boy Jason Barrett pulled the sound from our show yesterday of we don't give a rat's ass about Aaron Judge's home run. We don't. Stop already, ESPN. In New York, they care. We don't have to care.
No, you know what's funny? I'm actively now cheering. Before, I was like, yeah, it'll be cool to see him hit 61. I mean, I don't care.
Would it be
not,
great if he doesn't?
We're literally their dad. So I know they're not one of these teams like, I hope they, you know, like you feel about Golden State. I don't want Golden State to win anything because they're so father to us. I mean, they have literally fathered us multiple right, times. Right. And
sired.
So,
I think the word is sired.
But I look at the Yankees like, but we're their dads. So I don't like, that's cute. If Aaron Judge had gotten 61 home runs, I would have been like, hey, that's cute, son. You know what? We're proud of you. You're doing a great job.
Except, remember when the Yankees started so unbelievably, and we were like, oh, well, the Astros will go, well, they'll be fighting for the second spot in the AL. And then the Astros overtook them and killed them, and the Yankees were so disappointed, and they were playing so crappy. Would it be awesome if Aaron Judge doesn't hit 61
home
runs?
No, that's what I'm saying. At one point, I was like, yeah, it's cool. I want to see him hit 61. That's great. Now I realize, no, I don't.
Great.
Now I'm to the point where it's the Schadenfreude kicking in, and I want to see him fail, and I want to see Yankees fans.
I want to see Nick Torturo.
And I want to see all these media members who are at all these national sites who all went to Syracuse, or they're all from New York, and they think that New York is – because this is what is – it actually – the Syracuse angle and the people from New York angle rule national media, mm-hmm. where they believe that this – wait, go. This Jimbo, is not the Jimbo. Most important – oh, Jimbo.
Shoot, we got to go. Or quickly, let's do a site jab.
Jimbo's coming.
Jimbo's on the other side. Right here on the SPN.
Sitejab.com. Let's okay? go. That's the website, sitejab.com. Sitejab.com. If you go to sitejab.com, you're going to see a website that – you're going to see a company that builds websites above and beyond anything that you've seen before. They do an amazing job over 24 years in the business. They're from right here. They've seen every – single every single trend for web design, but they go beyond that. They do social media management, brand creation. They can professionally film videos that help show your company, who you are and what you are. That can be integrated into the site. Not just – I'm not talking about just some YouTube video that's embedded. I'm talking about – take a look at sitejab.com and see the video in the background of the actual site that's playing. It's really incredible. Looks great. Sitejab.com. Set up your free consultation with them. They are very reasonably priced, and they will really up your small to medium-sized business and turn more of those eyeballs into real business. Sitejab.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Coach Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
To Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Time for the head coach of them Fighting Aggies, Jimbo Fisher, on your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and HRNP every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, sometimes you win the battle, but man, there's some casualties, and one of them is Anaya Smith. How big a blow is that, Coach, that Anaya has done for the year?
I mean, it's a blow. There's a lot of other guys that step up. We've got a lot of young guys, but he's a very important part. I mean, played slot, new moving to running back, and did things and returned punts for us. I mean, he was we all know, a tremendous player, tremendous leader, and the things he's at. He was at practice yesterday meeting those young guys, and actually had a very good practice yesterday. A bunch of receivers look really good, and the guys we transitioned in there. But it is a big piece just because of his competitiveness, his personality, everything about him. I've loved everything about him ever since I recruited him. And, unfortunately, those things happen in sports, and you got to go through it. I mean, it happens everywhere, but, unfortunately, it happened to us.
You like your depth in terms of replacing Anais? You like the depth that you have to step up and fill in the pieces?
Yeah, I do. We got some great young backs that haven't played a lot yet. I mean, L.J. Johnson, Amari Daniels, maybe on Miles, they're back. You know, when you get into two back sets and do things that are, you can play more of those guys, receivers in the slots and all those things. There's some guys, young guys that can really play, and we're emerging with those guys and they're talented. And now you got to go out and do it in the game. It's like our young tight end is right now. You know, he's starting to really emerge and start to come on to play and add more to the passing game and things. So, as I always say this, there's always – adversity always brings opportunity for someone else. Unfortunately, it's unfortunate for Anais. My heart, I die for him because I know what he means, how much he loves ball, and how hard he works. But at the same time, you never know who guys are until they get the opportunity.
Yeah, on the TV screen, they showed him having a moment there with his father, and you could tell the father was really, despondent for the kid. And
he's got a great family. He's got a phenomenal family.
I want to switch it over to something that happened inside the game that turned the game completely, and that's the fumble from Jefferson, the quarterback, trying to dive.
Yep.
You guys caught it. opportunistic, took it the other way, touchdown. But I think it gets to a point. We here in Houston, we watched a running back from Florida who you saw, Damian Pierce. He's with the Texans now. He had a fumble in the first half. They kept him in the game. He fumbled again in the second half. That was it. Lovie Smith took him out. And I wanted you as a coach to talk about the discipline that's needed when it comes to players who give the ball up and turnovers and why that's important that you prioritize that, because things like this can happen.
Well, you look at the last two games, we haven't turned over one time. There's been one key turnover in the game, they've determined the game. And a lot of times it comes from discipline or technique, or sometimes, you know, the guy puts a perfect hit on the ball and things happen. I mean, you know, I've had it that way too. But momentum swings, we don't understand. 18 to 22-year-old kids, and you get momentum swings. The key before, like I said, that drive, because we had the big thing, we'd had a great drive on offense. We'd shot ourselves in the foot. Just silly, I call emotional penalties at the beginning of the game. Wanting to do too much, you know, not, you know, too hyped up for the game, and we move, we flinch. And then we get together and have a tremendous drive and get 13-7, and then they give a drive, which was hoping to get a stop in our deep, but our defense played every play. That's why you don't ever know. And they reached the ball out. The ball got reached out, so we got slapped out. And then we had the great play, and then Chappelle gets it, and then of course, Damani gets it from him, and we go down. But emotional changes and swings in games when you're 18 to 22, even in pro football, it happens. You see it all the time, but it rejuvenates things and gets that energy going, and it's critical. It's why you don't know what play ever changes a game. And, you know, we got momentum on the offense before that, then defense will give up a drive, but then all of a sudden, man, we make the play. We don't quit on the drive. Again, playing great red zone goal line defense, got a great play, and then come back and, you know, come out the second half and really the third quarter and played really well. Just unfortunately, we didn't finish it like we needed to, but they're a good team, we're a good team. But that play and taking care of the ball, and you saw another one yesterday, unfortunately, and I use it as an example to our team, two times yesterday, this weekend, that reach by, you know, what happened there, and the Missouri reach where a guy's going in the end zone and reaches out and drops the ball.
Yep.
And ball security, and, you know, you get anxious, you want to score, and I call it's discipline, it's facts, you got to trust it, you get excited, I can score the touchdown, I can get there, and they want it so bad that you got to stay within I call the process of fundamentals, and we were fortunate enough to come out on top on that.
Jimbo Fisher with us on the home for Aggie football, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and HR&P. Coach, I'm old. I've been watching a lot of football. I've never seen a ball hit the upright at the very top like that before. Have you?
No, I didn't realize it. I thought it hit the upright. I didn't pay attention to where it hit it. So, I mean, I know I've had balls. I've had balls go straight over the top, and some get called good, some get called bad.
Right.
I tell you what I do say. I wish college football had the extended goalposts like pro football. I really do. I think it's a true judgment. I actually lost a game one time where a ball, we see on the video, we clearly thought it was inside. A guy said it was outside, but it was so high that you couldn't judge it. You know what I'm saying? But I guess everybody said it hit the top. I still haven't gone back and looked at it because it doesn't matter to me if it hit the goalpost. Obviously, if it did that, I don't think I ever have.
No, but it was pretty lucky because you never know what the ref is going to say. So it was good that it was at Jerry's World where they do have higher crossbars. Or uprights.
Yeah, the NFL has those. And I've always thought that because these kickers today, people ask me what's the biggest difference in football today. I mean, there's a lot of them. But I'm going to tell you what, the kickers and punters, the ability to kick the football and punt the football in the last 10, 12, 15 years, it's phenomenal. The guys, the way guys kick the football.
Unbelievable. Kickoff leg strength, 50 plus
is
not a big deal anymore. Flipping the field with punters is not. You had man who could obliterate the punts.
Exactly. Well, we have man. Hayden Davis kicks his out. A lot of times, his go clear in the back of the end zone or in hits in the stands. And, like, we missed a field goal from 52 that would have been good from 58 or 59.
Yeah.
We missed it by 2 foot on the drive before. I mean, think about it. When you used to kick a 50-yard field goal, that was an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Why is that, Coach? Why? I was thinking about that when they were talking about it during an NFL game, and I'm thinking, is it – does it have something to do with soccer backgrounds? Is it how they're training? Like, what's happening?
I think anything. I think you've got technology. You've got video. Guys are training now. You got kicking coach. Used to kicking wasn't a big part of the game. I mean, it was, but you didn't have specialists teaching everybody how to punt, how to kick. I think kids are doing it. I think they're stronger. I think they work out a lot younger, and they've started these kicking camps and kicking specialists when they're young. And then, again, of course, the emergence of soccer. I think the whole process of all that, I think, is an accumulation of what's going on.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How has Max been evaluated these first couple of games?
Been solid. I mean, we haven't turned the football over, made plays, managed the game, scrambled, made some things, and he still left. We felt like we left quite a bit of plays on the field offensively in the passing game, whether we hit or dropped or whatever. But we're getting better, and in the process of we'll go with the ball and the things. And I think he's playing solid football, and we got to continue to get better and better, keep getting more big plays.
So Mississippi State this week, totally different than what you just saw in Arkansas.
Well, it is. It is that they throw, their quarterback throws it more, and more instead of a runner thrower. But he can run dynamic defensively. They're paying it. They're really good on defense. Their scheme and what they do, and mix things, lots of pressures, three down front, four down front, same personnel, and got two really tremendous kickoff returner and the punt returner. So I mean, good skill. I mean, they're a very good football team, and always are. That's a very tough place to play, and they got good players.
Yeah, them Cowboys. They don't shut up, do they?
No, I mean it's tough.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, that's gonna be fun. Congratulations, Coach. That was a tough game. Where you are now and where you were just a couple of weeks ago, Coach, is it what's the feeling in that locker room now versus after that App State game?
Well, I mean, we always believe, but you know, you learn what you can persevere. Like I said, the greatest thing we had after the App State game was Miami game, which was a highly ranked opponent. The best thing after that, we still didn't play as well as we could, is Arkansas, who was a big time opponent. And going to Mississippi State now with the adversity we have and things, I think kids know they believe, but we still, like I said, I still didn't think we left 21, 24 points out there. And I think defensively, not getting off the field, getting some fits, getting some stops, you know, in situations and getting started early. I mean, we still don't feel we play as well. We got a lot of work still to do, but we're persevering, we're competing, and they have confidence. They believe in what they do. We've got to keep playing better.
Yeah, this is a tough stretch here with three straight road games, no?
Yeah, they always are, man. Hey, it doesn't matter where you play them in this league, you're all tough.
Yeah. Do you like that? Do you like playing in Arlington with half the crowd and half the crowd?
I know. I said that. Of course, I'd love to be in Kyle Field. There's no doubt, 1,000%. And other guys, people like, I didn't mind it. I really don't. I think it's a good venue. The kids like going there. It's still unique, but, you know, it'll be gone here in a couple of years. We'll go back to home and home.
Yep. That's Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 every week. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and HRNP. Coach, we appreciate it. We'll, of course, listen to the game right here on your home for Aggie football, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, all right, Coach. There's Jimbo Fisher right here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want to give a little shout-out to the dogs who are here, the Dundee Old Guys, okay? Well, welcome to the city of Hugh. We got them listening right now. As a matter of fact, the Dundee Old Guys, they're going up to Wildcat, as a matter of fact, right now. They're heading up to Wildcat, and I can tell you this, if you're in another fairway, be careful if those guys are near, because it's really, really not great golf that's going to be played up at Wildcat this afternoon, this morning, as a matter of fact. So welcome to town, boys, and Craig, take care of your boys. All right, let's take a quick break here. Let's talk some Astros baseball on the other side here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, but first, your insurance.
TGS Insurance, it's always a good time to see if you're paying too much for your homeowner's insurance. I know some of you have heard me talk about this, and you've never actually texted the word money to 232323. I can tell you now, you're not going to be spammed. It's nothing like that. All you're going to do is you text that word, and what you're going to find is by texting the word money to 232323, they're going to ask you what your address is. You'll give them your address, and within 15 seconds, you're going to have a firm quote from an A-rated homeowner's insurance. But they're shopping multiple A-rated insurance companies. They've got an algorithm that can shop it very quickly just with your homeowner's address alone, and you can compare it against what you're paying right now. And you may find that you are paying way too much for your homeowner's insurance. Make sure that you give them an opportunity to find the best rate for you without sacrificing coverage. Why would you, if you knew you were going to get the same pair of tennis shoes, why would you pay 40% more for it? It doesn't make any sense at all. And yet that's what a lot of people are doing with homeowners insurance. Find out if you can put more money back in your pocket with homeowners insurance that is competitively priced through TGS Insurance. The best way to do that, text the word money right now to 232323, and you could be switched over to new, less expensive homeowners insurance with the same great coverage by as early as today. Text the word money to 232323.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
Now, gimmethevin.com. That's what I'm talking about. Gimmethevin.com. That's gimmethevin.com. You want to sell your car? There's only one way to do it. Go to GiveMeTheVin.com. Chuck Clay Wolf is nuts. You've heard him on this station for years and years and years. He is, I don't know how to put it. He's just, well, he just is, he's a tightrope walker is what he does. He's always walking that line. And but here's the thing. I don't care about that. I don't care as long as he gives me more money for my car. That's the thing I care about most. Yeah, and he did. He did that with my daughter. He'll do that with you as well. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com, put in your license plate or your VIN number, and then start the process. It takes about 5 minutes to find out how much your car is worth, and then you either sell it or you bring that to CarMax. You bring that to CarMax and say, can you beat this? If they can beat it, you go back to John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf says, I'll beat that as well. So you know what? You got a guarantee he will beat CarMax every single time, or he's going to send you $100. That's the promise. Now, your car dealer as well, he's going to beat them too. Go armed. If you want to sell your vehicle to somebody else, that's fine, but go armed with what it's worth at the highest level, and that's at GiveMeTheVin.com. You want to sell your car? GiveMeTheVin.com.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So here's what Brian McTaggart tweeted this morning. Since August 1st, Astros starter Christian Javier has posted these numbers. 9 starts, a 1.66 ERA, 0.79 whip, 0.148 opponent's average, 0.470 opponent's OPS, 0.470, 66 strikeouts, 15 walks, 28 hits, 54 and a third innings, 10.93 strikeouts per 9, 6.64 hits per 9, 4.64 hits, excuse me, 4.64 hits. These are ridiculous. These are Cy Young numbers.
Yeah.
Cy Young. Since August 1st, he is, I think there's a, I saw somebody tweeted out today. They said, okay, here's the starting rotation. It's going to be Verlander, followed by McCullers, followed by Fromber, followed by Javier. I tell you what, I don't want to be in this position to have to make the choice, but I could not possibly, even if Fromber fell off, okay, whatever, he gave up 4 runs this last outing. He has been spectacular. There is no chance that he doesn't start game 2, right?
No, no chance. Plus, it's righty-lefty. You get a righty-lefty combination.
Right.
Absolutely. He goes deep in games. He's been consistent. No, there's
Well, you're going to be at home for the first 2.
Mm-hmm.
Does that play into it at all with McCullers on the road?
I don't believe so. Lance McCullers is a veteran. So, no, I've never seen the Astros manage that way before that I can recall. I don't think Dusty will. I think they'll, you know, you line it up based on who you have to line it up based on how often. That's like, you know, it's like having your top hitters 1 and 2. You want them to get as many opportunities as possible. Same thing with pitching.
Right.
So no, I don't see that happening. I think it'll be a standard rotation. They're not going to goof around based on a hot month or whatever. They're going to, and Javier, to me, is not even a hot month. He's had, this has been his year. If you look at his career numbers are not that far off from this, except for, you know, the ERA is much better this year. But, I think that we know who it's going to be. It's Fromber 2, it's McCullers 3, it's Javier 4. Should be. If they do something stupid like Javier in the pen still, then there's going to be a lot of second guessing that will come up if Urquidy has bad
starts. What if I was to tell you Lance McCullers home and road career? What do you think his ERA?
Well, he's historically had a much better home ERA.
A much better.
Yeah, but
2.69 versus 4.43.
Yeah, but check, that's historically. What does he look like this year?
This season, home a 1.50.
He's got a 1.50 ERA?
Yeah, ERA at home this season.
Oh, well, that's right. He doesn't have as many starts.
And 3.57 on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everything is better at home with Lance McCullers. Everything. I wonder if that doesn't play into it. You know, Dusty does look at numbers. There's no question about it. And, oh, by the way, it's not like a huge slap in the face. You tell Fromber, you're starting game three. We would much rather have you on the road than Lance on the road. I mean, I don't think that that would be a huge slap in the face. And you know what? You're still our number two guy, but this is better for the team. And I'm sure Fromber would go.
Well, it's an argument.
It's an argument.
I mean, it's an argument. You can't just say no. I mean, you're putting your guy in. Look, in baseball, we have millions of examples of pitching hitting matchups where a guy is in a lineup because he hits another guy well, or a guy is not out of the lineup because he doesn't hit a guy well, or a lefty is out of the lineup because he doesn't hit lefties well. What's the difference if you have a guy who pitches much better at home versus away? Wouldn't you want to put him in the best position to succeed? I mean, it's not crazy.
No.
It's not crazy to say, hey, let's play the numbers and give our guy the best chance to succeed.
Yep, and because Lance is so much more comfortable at home. And I'm sure Fromber would go, whatever, that would be fine. Now, this is the guy who won the All-Star. This is Fromber has been on almost every other team, maybe not the Dodgers, certainly not the Mets, but not the Braves, but on most every other team, Fromber's the number one starter on their team, and especially with the numbers that he has put up this year. And for him to quite possibly, if this is something that they would ask him, I don't know that they would, but if this is something that they would ask him.
What do you think Fromber's home and away splits are?
He's probably pretty close.
Much bigger sample size, obviously. 12 games started at home, 17 on the road.
He's probably pretty close in both.
Fromber has a 3.32 at home and a 2.27 away.
Yeah, see?
I mean, the numbers tell you
that he should start
it's crazy,
three.
Too. It's now he's given up 8 home runs away, but yeah, the numbers, batting average against .237, or on-base percentage against .237, home, .209 away. I mean, it's worth talking about. It really is. You cannot sit and say, we believe in data. We believe, you know, people will use the catch-all analytics, but analytics is just the usage of historical data and historical failure / success to make decisions off of it. If you just go by the basics of Lance McCullers has historically, and including this year in recent history, much better at home than away, and Fromber this year has been better away than home, why would you not?
Yeah.
I mean, don't be just so stubborn. Well, because you don't. I mean, it's disrespectful. It's not disrespectful. Well, because it could throw him out of his rhythm. It's not going to throw him out of his rhythm any more than taking time off during a wild card series is going to. It's about putting yourself as a team in the best position to win. And if that means pitching Lance McCullers, you know, now it's ALDS. But so you could run the scenarios of, all right, what would the time frame look like? Would Lance be in a home or away scenario if you got past the ALDS and got to an ALCS? Okay, well then what about? Well, you can't figure it. You can't look that far ahead.
No,
you have
gotta,
no idea.
Listen, you never look at a playoff
series
like that.
Every series is
you
got
to do everything to win every series. You don't do that.
You know what? Honestly, I would put Lance McCullers 2 and Fromber 3 because I believe in that data. That data set is. It's real. It's a good thing to know that day games. I was talking to Mike over at Simple Seats. We had lunch yesterday, and we were talking about Astros tickets. And he said, well, you know, we know Astros are going to have a bunch of day games because if the Yankees are in it at all, they automatically get the night game. So the Astros would be day games. So I looked at Fromber's day numbers, .257 during the day, ERA versus .275 at night. Numbers are very, very similar. Like, you know, you would expect that with Fromber being as consistent as he's been, 188 on base percentage for Fromber during the day. So he has had 11 starts during the day, 18 during the night. How does he have 11 during the day? How's that possible?
On the weekend, a lot of Sunday games.
I guess so.
Probably. Let's get Frank in here. He wants to talk about his Astros here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you say, Frank?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys. Everyday listener. Hey, look, You're saying you don't want to fall victim to the analytics, but you keep bringing up these numbers on Fromber. If we're being real, and we've been watching baseball all year long, Verlander 1, Fromber 2, Christian Javier 3, and Lance McCullers is a nice guy to have at 4 because he's probably only going to get you to 5 innings because he's got a really high pitch count, and then you still got Urquidy Garcia sitting in the bullpen and the rookie to come
Frank,
in and help him.
Frank, why do you – hold you on. I don't think anyone said I don't want to fall victim to the analytics is just using the data you have. Why would you pitch if you know that one guy has pitched better on the road – and the other guy has pitched much better at home throughout his career? Why would you want McCullers pitching on the road if you know he's way better at home?
I mean, but that goes back to McCullers having to pitch at all. And personally, I don't think this year that McCullers is one of your top three arms. I really don't. I think Christian Javier, just talked about the numbers earlier. I think he's your third starter. I mean, and if you look at him on the road, he threw 7 no-hit innings in Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. There's not a harder place to pitch. I mean, so
Frank, do you believe
you can go for the juggler, 1-2, and then have Javier go 3, I think that's the way you go. Maybe you end it in 3.
Frank, do you believe in having playoff experience being a big deal?
I do, and don't get me wrong, I think that's a huge thing, and I still remember McCullers 26 curveballs in a row to the Yankees in 2017 to clinch, but every single person, with the exception of Hunter Brown, has playoff experience in our rotation. We have a cornucopia of pitching, and we have a great problem that nobody else in the major leagues has. They're all proven arms. They can all bear down. They can all get it done. So I think, personally, you go for the jugular, try to get these guys done, get ready for the ALCS.
I don't think anybody would disagree that Lance McCullers, thanks for the call, Lance McCullers is the fourth best arm this year behind Christian Javier.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's disagreeing with that. What we're saying is, how can you put the team in the best position to win? Well, you want to put the players in the best position to play the best they can. This isn't a battle of who's the best. And what you were just going through, Frank, is, well, no, let's line them up who the best is 1 through 4. That's not what John and I are talking about at all. It's what gives you the greatest opportunity to make your team as unbeatable as possible. Christian Javier can pitch from any park. It doesn't matter. He's a stuff guy. He's not a mental guy. Lance is a stuff guy, but he's got some mental stuff too. I don't think I'm out of line at all for saying sometime during his career, Lance has areas where he's gotten much better at this, but there can be a mentality that develops where he can get inside his own head. That's been an issue for him. Why do we think that this continues to be a home and away thing for him? Because mentally he feels better at home. Christian Javier, that no-hitter you talked about was on the road in Yankee Stadium. Fromber has been dealing on the road. This is not about us saying Lance McCullers is one of the top three. That's not it at all. The question becomes, does your team have a better chance if you make sure and have Lance McCullers pitch at home in the ALDS?
Yeah, and you do have a better chance. He's better at home, period, exclamation point. And I don't think it – you know what? Ego be damned. If Fromber has been awesome, 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 and I think you know, and he knows how you feel about him. Well, we'll find out this arbitration season what the Astros feel about him, and whether or not they go to arbitration at all with him, and how much they offer him. But I think if you ask him, hey, will you start on the road because you're so much better on the road? The dude would say, absolutely, absolutely.
Lance McCullers, by the way, has had 9 postseason starts. You know, and that is, I mean, that's huge. Has 9. Fromber has plenty too, because
plus
he pitched
relief,
in 2020.
Relief,
yeah, he has 7 relief appearances, 9 starts. Yeah. He's thrown 57 and a third innings, given up 44 hits, walked 18, and struck out 62. A whip of 1.08. ERA, as I mentioned, 2.83. Like, the numbers are really good. Strikeouts were 9.7.
And by the way, those numbers are against playoff teams, which are good teams.
Yeah, so Lance has had a good season this year, too, in his limited time. So I would, you know, once again, this is not about – I never said anything about fall. I think you are an analytics team, so you use the data that makes sense. If you're using it based on your lineup, why would you not use it with your rotation as it relates to – once again, Lance has great stuff, but he does sometimes get in his own head, and I think that's one of the reasons why, historically, that's what I find interesting. This year, the same as every year.
Yep, yep.
He struggles more on the road than he does at home.
All right, when we come back, Dana apologized yesterday, as we thought he would. So we'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now I'm talking about dip, all right? You dip. You like that tobacco. You like to put it underneath your lip right there, right? And you like to spit. And you like to be gross. And your wife or your girlfriend, she can't stand it. And you spill it on stuff. And you got tobacco all over your shirt. And you got spit on your shirt. And you know what? That's just generally gross. Okay? Now, I'm not a dipper. I don't dip. So, I mean, I guess I have, I'm biased on this thing. Because once at the Beta House, they spilled their dip all over my books. And I just threw them out because they're gross. Because dip is gross. I don't want dip and spit all over the place. What I got now is Artisan Grange. What I got is these unbelievable. It is no tobacco, no nicotine. It is awesome, yet it gives you the flavor. It gives you the sensation, and yet it is safe. You're not, okay, it's got CBD oil in it. Not only is it not harmful like dip is, which can cause cancer, it is actually could help you heal. So there's CBD in it. There's hemp in it. There's tobacco flavor in it. Or you could have mint and citrus and or whatever it is that you want in your dip. And you've got it all at one place. 975dip.com. Stop being gross. Go to 975dip.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 751, John and Lance. You know, we had talked about this. Dana made some stupid comments the other day. The other day after the game, he was pissed. He was frustrated. They won the game, and he even said, "Hey, you guys, why didn't you guys tell me we won the game?" You know, and maybe I wouldn't have said all that stuff. He said, "I'm not taking responsibility for the dumb acts that they're going out on the field and some other stuff that was just, you know, just not what coach speak." Listen, I heard so many stupid things yesterday on radio here about Dana Holgorsen. He wants to quit. Or he, you know, he's trying to get out of this. He's got $11 million owed to him. He wants out of here. He doesn't want to coach anymore. Just dumb. Dana loves it here. Dana wants to be here. Dana is as frustrated as anybody with this season. I mean, it's not like he doesn't see what's going on the field. They're not good. They're not good offensively. They're not good defensively. They thought they were going to be a lot better going into this season. Maybe it's a slow start because last year he got off to a slow start too. He lost to Texas Tech. You remember that Navy game. They looked like they were losing at halftime.
Right.
And they looked like crap. And then they come back in the second half and it kind of changed the season.
You know, they're 0-4 looking like crap though this year.
Yeah. No.
They did have a half against UTSA.
Yeah.
And then fell apart at a play at the end. Like they have not put together a consistent
half. No, they're down 14 or 15 every game at half, right?
Let me tell you,
when they jumped out,
I legitimately thought this was at least I thought it was a 10-win season headed in. And now you look and you say, you barely got by Rice. You're looking at a Tulane team that is Tulane might be the better team.
Yeah.
Honestly, they're undefeated right now. They've got a good win under their, you know, on their docket. I don't think Houston, the way that they have played defensively and the way that they've played offensively, can look at any team as a circled win right now. I mean, really, you can't.
No.
And that's surprising to me at this stage.
I'm
sure it's surprising to Dana too.
Well, it's extremely surprising to him.
It's very surprising to the Houston Cougars.
No,
fans.
It's why he was so well. By the way, they lost last week. Tulane did to Southern Miss.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
I think Did Dana
say
they were
undefeated? They beat Kansas State, though, yeah, who just went and slapped Oklahoma.
They lost to Southern Miss, but they beat
Kansas State. Yeah, huh. At Kansas State. So, Tulane's good football team coming in here. We'll find out whether or not. Listen, that's a good opponent. They've got yes, they're not as good as they thought that they were going to be. He said, I was frustrated. I apologize. You know, I'm taking responsibility for everything here. That was a guy after that football game that has been he doesn't get it. What is going on with this football team? Because it's supposed to be so much better than it is, and it's not. Now, did you see they lost Derek Parrish as well? Out for the season, torn biceps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's now that's 12 of 22 guys that he's lost so far. So that's part of it. Not making excuses. It hasn't been good. They should be much better. Clayton Tune should be better. The offensive line should be better. The defense should be better. The defense shouldn't be giving up, field goals with 18 seconds left and a 3-point lead. And they do that every week. It feels like
every week.
Every week.
Every week.
Every week. Not
doesn't
it feels like. It
no,
happens
it
every
feel
week.
Like it. Yeah, it happens
it happens every week. It actually happens every week. So, no, they're not. It hasn't been good. But he doesn't want out of here. He doesn't want his $11 million. He's not trying to get fired. Although you got calls from people that said, what the hell is he saying?
Oh, no. People who have been former and current people who work in college and pro football, like three different people. Your guys trying to get out of the. One of them said, "Your guys trying to get out of that school." That's exactly what it looks like. There's no other reasons to intentionally say the things that he said out loud. Like, all you're doing is telling your employers that, you don't want to do your job. Basically, another person just said, why does Dana think he can say, it's literally your job to coach. A coach should never say that it's not your job to motivate. You say stuff behind the scenes, but you never say publicly. I think what he said, you saw it. I couldn't believe it. I'm the son of a coach. I've been around him, but I'm really a fan and a media member at this point. Also, you're the same thing. And I have friends who are coaches.
I saw it on Saturday and I said, what the?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I deal with to this day, deal with coaches all the time, all year in college football and pro football. And that was in a dad who coached for 37 years in college and pro football, brother who is a football coach right now. It's frustrating. It's a frustrating job. And Dana's just tired of all this stuff. But at the same time, I don't think you ever want to separate yourself from what it's a buck stops here business, where even if it's not your quote unquote fault, it is your fault. Even if you're not the one doing it and you're trying as hard as you can and it doesn't get done, ultimately they just say you're the CEO and it's not getting done. The shareholders will replace the CEO. I mean, that's how it works. So I'm surprised Dana let it get to that point, honestly, because he's been coaching a long time. I'm just surprised he said that out loud. I would not be surprised to hear him say that behind closed doors, because that's understandable. But saying it out loud for people, it's a bad look knowing how frustrated Cougar fans are getting right now. I just don't think you, and especially, over 40, I think 43 penalties in four straight games with double-digit penalties. I just don't think you never want to say that out loud. But I was glad he apologized yesterday and made note of that, but I think it was surprising that a veteran coach kind of let it get the best of him out loud. And I think it also had to do with, frankly, he would never admit this, but he didn't think he would probably struggle this badly against Rice. And he probably understands that for people in Houston to say, Rice almost got you? Rice? But Mike Bloomgren's doing a nice job over at Rice, but they're limited. They'll always be limited. In theory, it shouldn't. I told you I thought it would be like a 10-point game. I thought it would be very competitive and that Houston might win by 10. The game went about like I thought it would. Rice is going to play hard. Houston has just not shown up yet this year.
Yep.
When have they shown up? Dana mentioned motivation. That's the worst thing is when your team is not motivated, because sometimes it'll be a coach's responsibility, but there needs to be guys on the team that are the leaders and they set the standard. You can say coaches set the standard, but a lot of times players set the standard. And it's not happening on the team either. The standard's not getting set.
Yeah. It's been about as frustrating, maybe the most frustrating year that one of them that he's had. I know the high hopes that he had for this football team. It's just, it hasn't lived up to it. There's not yet anyway. We're four games in. We'll see what happens. He turned it around at about this mark last year. They turned it around at about this mark last year. Listen, Clayton Tune's got to play better. He's got to play better. Doug Bell, that defense has got to play better. I know they've lost a lot of guys. Oh, well. But you can't give up the yards. You can't give up the crucial drives at the end of games that they've given up. You just can't. Got to be better. That's all. And there was a lot of frustration there. We'll talk to him tomorrow. He's going to join us tomorrow because they got the Friday game. So Dana's going to we're going to move up his weekly visit with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, are we catching it? We didn't talk about the Cowboys yet.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Here, we're the second home for the Cowboys. How are we not talking about the great Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, wow. We missed that game. Oh, the other station led with it. We didn't.
Why? Why are we getting scooped on Cowboys talk?
Man.
Dallas Cowboys, we are your team. We march on and we get you wins.
Oh, my God.
Cooper Rush.
It was CeeDee
Lamb, Noah Brown. Look at our Cowboys go.
By the way.
Tony Pollard. Do your thing.
By the way, Noah Brown. Brown looks nice.
Yeah, he's done a nice job.
Yeah.
I like Ezekiel Elliott and CeeDee Lamb scoring touchdowns personally.
I know you like that. Fantasy, I'll tell you what.
You do not want to be down to me in a fantasy football matchup headed into a Monday. Last week, I wrecked people with Stephon Diggs. This week, CeeDee Lamb and Ezekiel Elliott. Although, Zeke's just a guy.
Yeah, he's not
he just got a touchdown.
He's not as good as Tony Pollard, period.
Nah, Tony Pollard is so much better, but congratulations.
Yeah.
You know,
listen,
as the Cowboys,
I'm looking at Cooper Rush, and I'm going, please win, because I want to see when Dak comes back and he gets back in the lineup and they lose, how everybody's head is going to explode.
And I want to see our Cowboys really, you know, I think we made terrible decisions giving Zeke that much money, but it's also kind of cool to see a guy who won't even hit 1,000 yards get paid that much money and take up that much of our cap. It's cool. We as, you know, the station of the Cowboys and all, since we are in Dallas, Texas, well, a suburb of Dallas, apparently, because we love the Cowboys. Let me tell you, nothing's better when the Cowboys do well. And I will put my cape on for the Cowboys and talk Dallas Cowboy football all day long here in Houston.
Yes, let's put
much,
it. Let's
much
do
better
it.
Than how the Houston Man. Rockets do, you yeah. know, the team that has the two championships.
The local team
here.
That had their media day yesterday? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Time to talk about QC Kinetics now. That's important, too.
QC Kinetics is very important. And wife is going through a five-step process. For some of you, it may just take two or three processes. We're talking about chronic pain, chronic joint pain. And a lot of people just say, okay, well, that's, you know, what I'm going to have to deal with the arthritis in my hip or the arthritis in my knee. And that's actually, you're just getting to the point where you can get the help that you need. And you know, shots will give you temporary relief, and then it goes back to the same thing. They're never a fix. It's only a Band-Aid. You've got surgeries that you can go through. You've got so many features that, you know, require drugs and downtime. They're just temporary. I'm talking about long-lasting relief when you have the all-natural biological therapies from QC Kinetics. How about the fact that your body's own healing power can be used to restore and regenerate and rejuvenate the damaged tissue in your joints? Hip, shoulder, back, knee, doesn't matter. The results are oftentimes quick in terms of the reduction in pain that you see, and in many times you start to get mobility back as well, and a lot more mobility back. So why are you going through the old standard ways of doing things when the new ways are the ways that are producing the most results? QC Kinetics is a company I trusted my wife with. Them, you should trust them with your issues as well. 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285, or go to qckinetics.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.